Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we'll touch on two breaking stories of police accountability in New York City now. One is that registered voters in the city get to vote beginning this Saturday on whether to expand the powers of the Civilian Complaint Review Board. That's the board that investigated and then argued for the firing of Officer Daniel Pantaleo and the death of Eric Garner, for example. The major police union just came out against that ballot measure. The other story is about Governor Cuomo's deployment of about 500 state police personnel to the New York City subways as a response to rising homelessness and other issues there. And the issue that our local news website, Gothamist, is reporting on is that state police are not required to wear body cameras like NYPD officers are. And so with us first is Gothamist reporter Jake Offenhartz. Hey, Jake, welcome back to the radio side.
Hey, Brian, thanks for having me.
Remind us of the basics. Why is the governor sending police into the city subways?
Right. So you may recall back in June, the governor announced that there was going to be this big uptick in enforcement related to what he said were quality of life issues on the subway. Homelessness was a big focus here. He said that homeless people were increasingly taking shelter inside the subway system. The targets have moved a little bit. It's also now this perceived increase in fare evasion. So it's really fare beating, homelessness, quality of life issues.
In fact, let me play just an 18-second clip of the governor on the show. After it was first announced, I said, you need cops to help homeless people? And he said this.
Police are there to fight crime, and there are quality of life crimes. Harassment is a crime. The video of the young person punching the elderly woman, that's a crime. Assaulting an MTA worker is a crime.
So is he consistent in describing the deployment in that way?
That's one of the things he's mentioned. We should note that, like, citywide crime on the subways is at pretty historic lows right now. There's not this huge jump in subway crime by any means.
So what's the body camera discrepancy that you're reporting on?
Right. So earlier this year, as part of this like years-long initiative to equip all NYPD officers with body cameras, the city announced that they had completed this rollout. The mayor talked about this as like a major step in transparency. As this is happening, though, we have these state police officers who I think you're like increasingly seeing in the subway station. It was announced in June, but it's really become pretty like evident in the last few weeks. They are not required to wear police body cameras at all. The MTA says that they're in talks with the PBA about possible implementation, but no one at PBA has confirmed that to us. And as far as we know, these talks are in their early stages right now.
You quote a New York Civil Liberties Union lawyer objecting to this. What's the civil liberties issue as they see it?
Well, I think that they say, you know, if you're going to be flooding the subways with police officers, the least you could do is ensure that they have the same transparency standards as the city police officers. And I think that a lot of New Yorkers, you know, they see a uniformed officer, they rightfully assume this is an NYPD cop. They heard that NYPD officers are required to wear body cameras. I think it was surprising to a lot of people, including a lot of elected officials, actually, that this current deployment does not have that requirement.
You mentioned Mayor de Blasio's pride about the now 100% rollout, we're told, of body cameras for NYPD officers. Here's the mayor on the show last week on that.
There's a lot more transparency. If you look across the board at NYPD, the amount of information they're putting out all the time, if you look at something like body-worn cameras, which are an exemplar of transparency, there's much more transparency, Dave.
So after hailing this as an exemplar of transparency, has the mayor reacted to having non-body camera-wearing officers in the subways?
No, we have not heard back from City Hall, and we put out a request for comment. I think we should also note, like, the NYCLU would point out that these body cameras may not actually be the exemplar of transparency that the mayor is pitching. We have tried time and time again to get them to release the body camera footage and things like fatal police shootings. They have denied that. I think civil liberties advocates want to see police body cameras married to a commitment to accountability over that footage and ensuring that the public has access to it when it makes sense.
So last thing, have these state police made a measurable impact of any sort yet in the subways, or is it too early to say?
I think one, it's too early to say, and two, we don't really have good baseline numbers on what, you know, if they're here to crack down on this supposed fare evasion uptick, we would want to know that there is this fare evasion uptick. The MTA says it's costing them like $260 million a year. Those numbers are like pretty foggy. There's reason to believe that the numbers that they are putting out about how fare evasion is hurting them are not really based in reality.
Jake Offenhartz from our local news website, Gothamist. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
And now to WNYC City Hall reporter Bridget Bergen, who's reporting on the ballot questions for New York City voters this election day. And remember, with early voting coming to town this year, you can actually start voting this Saturday. The one concerning police accountability is about the powers of the CCRB, the Civilian Complaint Review Board. Hi, Bridget, and remind people what the CCRB is and what it does.
Good morning, Brian. Sure. The Civilian Complaint Review Board is the agency charged with oversight of the NYPD when the public has an issue with the NYPD. So people can file a complaint, and then the CCRB conducts investigations. And then the findings of those investigations can inform the discipline that is given to an officer. However, the police department is still responsible for actually applying that discipline.
So what would the ballot measure change?
So there, you know, with all of these ballot measures, there are multiple proposals in each question. And in the CCRB question, there are five proposals. One of them would increase the membership of the CCRB, bumping it up from 13 members to 15, and taking two of those appointments and giving one to the public advocate and one that would be jointly appointed by the mayor and speaker of the city council. And that individual would be the chair of the CCRB. And the significance of that change is currently the CCRB membership is made up of all people who are appointed by the mayor and approved by others. Additionally, the other changes would set a minimum budget of the CCRB that is pegged to the headcount of the NYPD. It's actually a relatively small percentage, but it would bump up slightly the staff that works for the CCRB based on the current headcount of the NYPD. It would also require the police commissioner, when he deviates from the discipline recommendations that the CCRB has provided, to explain specifically why in writing they have departed from those recommendations. It would allow the CCRB to investigate any instances where a police officer is has lied during an investigation, which is a very significant change and something my colleague George Joseph has done some reporting on, the truthfulness of NYPD officers when they are part of these investigations and prosecutions. And then the final would increase the subpoena power of CCRB during their investigations of police misconduct.
Can you talk about the police lying issue in a little more detail? Our great colleague George Joseph, NYPD reporter, he covers the police for our news department. He did that report that revealed that the DAs in the five boroughs keep lists of different police officers who they've known to lie on the stand or otherwise lie when they've been reporting on incidents in which they've made arrests. So how would this ballot measure address that problem?
Sure. So if it is found that a police officer has made false statements during the course of a CCRB investigation, that information would have to be, under current charter, referred back to the police department for further investigation through their internal affairs process. And this proposed amendment to the charter would allow the CCRB to investigate and make findings and potentially recommend discipline regarding the truthfulness of any information an officer makes during that investigation. And that's a pretty dramatic and significant change. You know, it is still the police department that will issue discipline for the officers, but the fact that the CCRB can actually go back and do additional investigation when that truthfulness is an issue is a dramatic change and something that, you know, I think some police reform advocates will point to as an important change in the charter.
Now, we remember from the Daniel Pantaleo case this year, and you referenced this a minute ago, that the CCRB can only make recommendations on police discipline. Their findings are not binding. We remember the drama in the summer after the trial, the departmental trial with the CCRB of Pantaleo and all this mystery. Will the commissioner take the judge's recommendation and actually fire Pantaleo? So anything that happened in that process was not actually binding. It was only advisory to the commissioner. The ballot measure does not change that.
That's right. The discipline is still, the discipline will still be issued by the commissioner. The difference would be that one of the proposals would require the commissioner to put in writing if he deviates from the recommendations of the CCRB. And so there's a little bit more transparency there, but the power and authority still rests within the department.
Now, the main NYPD union, the Police Benevolent Association, came out against this measure yesterday. Not surprising. Nobody wants to be regulated or monitored more than they are. But what's their argument?
A part of what they say is that their opinion is that the membership of the CCRB are people who have an anti-police bias, that these are individuals who don't have the same understanding or skills for investigations that police officers do, and therefore it makes an already challenging environment that much more difficult for police officers. And that's something that they talk about, you know, as in any of these instances where we hear about matters of police oversight, we hear the unions talking about this challenging environment that police officers are operating within. So they are coming out very strongly on social media and elsewhere opposing this specific question.
Now, we should note that some criminal justice reform advocates think this measure doesn't go far enough. And we have a tweet, for example, from a listener right now. The CCRB ballot proposal offers very small changes. Will these minor changes take pressure off of reform? So the reform community is ambivalent about this. What would they have liked to see?
Well, I want to make two points, Brian. One, this charter revision process is something that has been going on for months, and there have been, you know, many, many hours of hearings with experts and the public around all of the issues all of the five ballot issues that people will be voting on. And so there are more issues probably under each of the big headings, CCRB, elections, ethics and government, land use, budget, that some advocates would have liked to see be part of this conversation that ultimately the members of this Charter Revision Commission decided for this go round, these are the proposals that we think make the most sense to put out there. And so similarly, I think in the question about the CCRB review, there are more reforms that advocates would have liked to see be part of this, but ultimately the charter revision members decided these were the five that made the most sense to move forward with now.
And the major reform advocates and organizations are recommending that people vote yes?
I think that it depends on which groups you're talking about. I'm actually very excited tonight. I'm going to be moderating a forum at the JCC in Upper Manhattan with the Communities United for Police Reform. We'll be there to talk specifically about this question. We'll have other panelists talking about the other questions. And so I think we're going to talk about some of the reasons why people are in favor and against all the different ballot questions and help people who are still trying to make up their mind figure out what the issues are that should be informing their decisions.
Oh, that's a public event. People can go to the JCC at Amsterdam and 76 tonight and see you do that?
That's right. It's 7 p.m. tonight. Let's fill the house with people who want to know more about these five ballot questions and hear from people who represent all the different issues that will be making our decisions on to change the city charter and why people would be in favor or against the 19 proposals that make up these five ballot questions.
That's why we're taking them one by one on the show, some of them, so they are in understandable bites for our listeners before the voting starts. WNYC's City Hall and politics reporter, Bridget Bergen, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Much more to come.